We're going to take a look at the Rambam, Perek HaSiri, for example, where the Rambam says that if one of the Dayanim, that's Perek HaSiri, Halacha Aleph, if one of the Dayanim in Dini Nefashos, this is a din in Dini Nefashos, it's not a din in Dini Mamonos, that was either one of the Mazakin or one of the Mechayvin. Not because he said something which appeals to him, which makes sense to him according to his own understanding, but he was noter. He turned, so to speak. He was inclined. What it means to say, basically, is that he did not express his own idea. This is not his own idea. He just decided to agree. He agreed with somebody else. Now, you can agree with somebody else. Let me clarify that. There's nothing... Yeah, that's the whole point, I think, is to have a debate. And everybody's going to express their point of view. And people are going to try and convince others of their point of view. That's the whole purpose. So, at the end of the day, when the Dayan votes, casts his ballot, so to speak, it doesn't mean that he has to vote in accordance with his own idea that he propounded, unless he actually believes it. That's what he's convinced. He has to go in accordance with what he is convinced is the truth. That's, I think, what the Rambam is saying over here. That is, he cannot yield, he cannot acquiesce in terms of his own understanding of what the truth is and simply adopt the position of another individual and say, that's sufficient for me. Sometimes you do that. Well, and then most, or you go to a doctor, well, you don't understand, or you have a few doctors, you decide which one you're gonna acquiesce to his decision, whether you don't understand it. That, however, of course, that's a different area. Yeah, we have no choice in the matter. But in the case of a Sanhedrin, a member of the Sanhedrin does not have the right, it's a lo sase, midioraisa, to simply decide that he's going to be like so-and-so. He's going to vote the way the other person votes, even if this person is much greater than he is. He does not have the right to do that. He has to think through the case on his own, independently, and he has to, whatever decision he's convinced is the truth in accordance with his own das, that's what he has to do. It's an interesting kind of a halacha over here. Of course, we want to understand what's the reason for it, what's the context. Now he says, if a Dayan, who was one of the Mazakin or one of the Mechayvin, not because of something which makes sense to him in his own mind, but he rather decided to
defer
or to agree, concur with somebody else's words, he says, Areza over below Sase. He's in violation of a Lo Sase. And V'alzen Amar, this is the Lo Sase of Losana al Riv Lintos. That you should not express an opinion concerning a dispute. It's a reference to Dini Nefashos Lintos, to be noted. We'll soon see how he understands that, Lintos. So, of course, you wouldn't deduce this from the wording of the Pasuk itself. There's no way, but it's Mipi Hashmua, Tosh Bal Peh. Amru Shlo Tomar B'Shas Minyan, that you should not say at the time of the Minyan, It's enough. I'll agree with so and so. Interesting. Even to accept somebody else's word and say I'll vote like him, you're not allowed to do that. But you have to emor mashiv fanecha. But you have to express your own view. It's interesting. It's one of those lavin, which I guess you can't be prosecuted for, aside from it's lav she'im bo maisa and that type of thing. But that. How can anybody prove? Nobody could ever prove that you did this. How would this be provable? You can always claim that that's what I believe. Now, for example, of course we don't mean to say that I can't base my decision on what somebody else said. I don't think the Rambam is saying that. That would bring us back into the same old problem. Well, so you mean everybody has to have a different opinion? How many opinions can you have? That's going to get us back into that issue. So what does well, let's say you debated very, very eloquently, and I understand your position, and I prefer your position to my position. What am I supposed to do? The Rambam doesn't mean to say that you have to stick to your original opinion. The Rambam doesn't mean to say that you cannot adopt somebody else's opinion. But if you adopt it, it has to be because it makes sense to you. So that, had the other person not said it, you may not have thought of it on your own. That's not notev. That's not notev. You know, you can't give up your own mind over here. You can't absolve yourself from the responsibility to think through and come to a decision. Whether it be with regard to somebody else's decision. That could be, having thought through all the opinions, my own and your opinion and this, now, and having heard your arguments, I conclude that this makes the most sense. That is what he's talking about. So you can. You can accept and vote for an opinion that somebody else's. But that's because it makes sense to you in accordance with your own capacity for judicial understanding. You can have no opinion. That's truth, because we have a case like that, where you say, any other day, I don't know. That's honesty. So you sort of recuse yourself. That would be the equivalent of recusing yourself. And then they have to add others. So that's honesty. It follows from that a person has the right to say any odeya. This halacha itself creates that possibility, because if there weren't such halacha, he could always say, I'll go like you. I don't know, but I'll go like he says. You can't do that. You take a look at Beis. The v'chla lav zeh, included in this lav, is shelo yachzor hamalam eitzchus b'dini nefashos l'lmod chova. That the one who was malame tzchus in dinei nefashos, this is only in dinei nefashos, cannot be chozer, cannot change, and to be a malame chov, cannot become a prosecutor. Shenemar, as it says, lo sana al riv lintos. The same pasuk. Let's pause for a second. What would you say is difficult about this? Now is the time to mention that the Rashi apparently does not agree with the Rambam, because on Rashi and the Mishnah, on the point that the Malamei Tzchus can't be Chozer, or Malamei Chov, says it's a Svarahi. It's a Svara. The Be'inan V'Yitzilu, because we require V'Yitzilu. With the Gemara, Mukim Law, B'Shas Mas Umatan. Now the Gemara explains that this is a reference only to the time of Mas Umatan, the deliberation phase. Hud Lo Yachzar. At that point, it can't be Chozer. And here's the Svara. The mitoch she'ata omer lo, because since you tell him shalolachzor, that he can't change, who mechazer acharayos. So if you tell him that he can't change his position, that he cannot become a prosecutor, so to speak, so then he, so to, in a sense, this is his position. So then he's all seek to strengthen the position. So it's an attempt to increase zechus. If that's the case, if this is my, it's so to speak, we discussed it, like you're assigned a position in a debate. Whether you accept it or don't agree with it, you know, resolved. Capital punishment in America, whatever, should be eliminated, not eliminated, whatever it is. You may not agree with that position, but if you're assigned that position, so then you're going to do all kinds of research. And you'll take a new look at all the arguments in favor of that position. Who knows? You may actually come to accept it. However, at the end, by the time of the Avah B'Shas Gemar Din, but at the time of the Gemar Din, Shekvar Chizer Al Kol Tzdadin, where he's already reviewed every possibility for this argument, V'nir Alo She'ein Dvar V'Nechonim, and it seems that his words are not true, Chozer Malamed Chova. Then it could be Chozer Malamed Chova. Now, would you say that the Rashi agrees or disagrees with the Rambam? Lechora, which means at first glance, ostensibly they disagree. Because Rashi doesn't quote a pasuk. When Rashi says Svarah, it would seem that it's based upon a Svarah. It's a logical thing. And the Rambam is basing it on a pasuk. Each position is difficult, if you ask me. Each position has its difficulties. What is the difficulty with the Rambam? The Rambam is very difficult because, How do you fit that into the klal, into the generality of this law? It doesn't. What does one thing have to do with the other? The first part, the first prohibition you mentioned is that the dayan has to speak his own mind. He can't just decide, agree. He just can't agree with somebody else unless it makes sense to him. So what does that have to do with the fact that if he's a malamed schus, he can't be chosen malamed chov? I don't see what one thing has to do with the other. That seems to be a completely separate point. What is the difficulty, though, according to Rashi? The difficulty, I would say, with Rashi, well, what do you mean it's a svara? Of course it's a svara. It is. It's a good svara. Makes a lot of sense. But in structuring the conduct of dini nefashos of a court case, it was just based on svara. Does he mean to say that this is the rabbanon? Is that what he means? What's your basis for it, though? There's a lot of things that make sense. There's a lot of things that you could do that would make sense. But the assumption is they have to have a basis. Now, if you want to, I'd ask Rashi, is this the Oraisa or is this the Rabbanan? The question is, what's the source of this? If you're going to say that the source is, it's a Svara, it seems to me that it has to be based upon something to make it the Oraisa. For example, with Otsah, from one Rishus, from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. So then the question, but we also know that it doesn't matter. From Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. So then you could say Svara. But the Torah revealed that Hotzah, that removing an object from one Rishus and placing it in a different Rishus constitutes a Malacha. Because that was something which was essential in the construction of the Mishkan. So if the Torah only mentions one case, that is to say that taking it out from the private to the public, so you could say on the basis of Svara, that it's the same thing, that if you go from public to private, because it's the same idea. This is what the basic idea is, the transformation from one rishus to the other. These are the two rishuyos. So what difference does it make where your starting point and your finishing point is? So I understand, you can say that's a svara. But it's a svara pertaining to something which is revealed, and it becomes the araisa. You have a right to do that. What Rashi does not reveal is the source. So that it's true, it's a svara, but does he mean that it's the Rabbanan? That it's something which the Rabbanan enacted? Which in and of itself wouldn't be so simple either, because the structure of Vishaftu Eidavitziloi, this is the Araisa. You're dealing with Mishpat. I'm not saying that there's no room for Takanos of the Chachamim, but that's something that I think Rashi would have said. But Rashi just leaves it. It does not seem to take a stand on that. Doesn't tell us where you're getting it from, other than it's a svara. Back to the Rambam. The Rambam then says, "Amedvar mamurim." When do we say this? B'shas masu matan. At the time of masu matan, al b'shas gemar din. But at the time of the gemar din, yesh l'malam etzchus lachzor. It's permitted for the malam etzchus to change ulahi manos and to be counted with the machayven. What is the problem over here?
Seems to turn it upside down.
Well, one second. You see, now, if it's according to Rashi, if you're telling me that it's Svara, so this part is perfectly acceptable. See, Rashi explains the Svara. This conclusion fits beautifully with Rashi, because if it's just a device to increase the possibility of finding a support for the argument of Schus, and we say you can't abandon, that's your position, you can't abandon it, so therefore, that's it. You're going to devote all your energies to strengthening that position. You're going to fight for that position, and you're not going to abandon it. But then it makes sense to say that that's only during the time of deliberation. And once deliberation is over, so that's it. Then you decide what you think is correct. If indeed you strengthen it, then now you believe that this is the correct position, vote for that. But apparently Rashi is not going to go so far as to say we're going to coerce you how to vote. Huh. But if you're going to say that the derivation is from the pasuk, it's a pasuk which tells you that the malamed schus can't be chozer or malamed chov. It's not because of any of this far, it's a decree. So on what basis, where is it in the pasuk that says that at the time of the Gemar Din you can change? We're just going to make some more observations over here. In Gimel, Talmud Shoyim Azaku Meis. A Talmud who was Mazakah and died. So we view it as though he's still Mazakah b'mkomo. The question is, for what purpose? In terms of what? we've already made the point that it would be very difficult to say that the Rambam is talking about the actual final count. Because I went through a number of sources to demonstrate that the Rambam holds that only Dayanim can cast a ballot in the final analysis. And in those cases where a Talmud would be included, first you'd have to get Smicha. And the Rambam discussed that in Perek Rishon. That's why they have three different groups. It's an interesting point. Three different groups of Talmidei Chachamim who are on the level, different levels, of course. The ones that are closest are on the highest possible level. They're roi to receive smicha. So they're watching and following the whole case because they may be needed. If one of the Dayanim dies, or he says any odeya, and you have to add, if you have to make additions to the Sanhedrin, so they're there. But they have to be given smicha. So here, no one has talked about smicha. Bear in mind, the reason we don't have a Sanhedrin today is because we don't have smicha. The smicha for Sanhedrin, to Dun, Dini Nefashos. We don't have that smicha anymore. That was transmitted Ishmi Piyish. And, all right, the Rambam discusses that there is a certain type of a methodology in which it theoretically could be reconstructed again. This became the basis of a very interesting, controversial historical development when people actually did try to reconstitute it, but it didn't work. Not everybody agrees with the Rambam. Separate point. But in order to be on a Sanhedrin, you have to have smicha. So it goes without saying, here you're telling me that because somebody was Malame Tzchus, just because he was Malame Tzchus, and it was a good argument, so that doesn't give him smicha. As we see later on, people, as they're taking the person, if he's condemned to be executed, people outside can argue, if it could be a good argument. But that doesn't give you smicha because you have a good argument. Then in Dalit, of course, if somebody said, Yeshli Lalame Tzchus v'nishtatek, Omeis, Kodem Shilame Tzchus, V'yom Meis Atam Mazaka, Hareza Kamisha Eino. Right, then he says that if somebody said I could be Malame Tzchus, and then he died, it's like he's not, that doesn't count, it's meaningless. Then he says, Shnaim Shamru Tam Echad, two said one Tam, Afilu Mishne Mikros, Eina Einimnan El Biechad, are not counted except be'echad, as one. Then he says that mipiyashmu alamdu she'em aschilum din nefashos min agadol. And we learn that you can't, in din nefashos, you're not allowed to begin the expression of opinions from the gadol, from the greatest of the, and apparently that's something that they had to be cognizant of. Who's who? Not everybody was equal on the same level. Perhaps because the others might rely on him, even though they're not allowed to do it. It's sort of a protective device, even though they're not allowed to do it, but it's human nature, right? And they won't see themselves fit to disagree. But rather, we saw, so in order to make this easier, we don't ask the gadol until everybody else has had a chance. So they shouldn't be influenced by the gadol, a certain awe. Talmidim don't speak unless they want to be mazaka. The Talmud raises his hand and says, I want to be a mazaka. If he says, I want to be mechayev, mishaskin osa, we silence him. If he only has rights to speak, if he says that he wants to introduce a exoneration.
Is that after all the other Dayanim has spoken?
Well, I'm not sure about the order. It would seem to be that way, but we're not sure here. Then he says that ein poschim din nefashos lechov el l'schus. That's interesting. The Allah of Ein Poschen. You can't begin in Din Nefashos with Chov, except Schus. So you can't begin, it's two ideas. One, you can't begin with a Chov, and you can't begin with a Schus. What would be an example of beginning with Chov? This is a strange Allah, because it would seem that on a superficial level to mean that the first person who argues, who offers a verdict or a decision, has to be one of acquittal as opposed to conviction. That's what it would seem, but that's not the case. Because the Rambam says, Ketzad, Omru l'zeh shechata, we say to the sinner, Im lo asisa davar zeh, if you didn't do this thing, she'idu bo alecha, that they testified about, Al tira mitzvrayim, don't be afraid. I don't see anything from this Rambam that maintains that the first argument in Masu Matan cannot be for Chov. And I'll tell you from where I derive that. The halacha in Perek Tishi, Perek Tes, halacha Aleph, Sanhedrin Shepaschu Kulon B'din Nefashas Tchila, that the Sanhedrin, in the first round of opinions, were all the Amru Kulon Chayev, and they all said Chayev, Harezeh Pata. He's Pata. Which is a strange kind of a halacha. It was very, very important to bear in mind this halacha. Until there'll be a few mezakin, shiahapchu b'schuso, who will search out. Mahapech is sort of like to dig and search, and grind away for some kind of merit. But they'll be overpowered, so to speak. It's got to be a war here. And then he can be killed. The opposite, if everybody goes, Matzalos Chus, that's what the Rambam says. Boom, what happened? The Rambam says about the by Dini Nefashos. Ketzad done in Dini Nefashos. This is in Perek Yud Beis, in the middle of Halacha Gimel, which is a big Malachi. He goes through a whole rundown, step by step, how Dini Nefashos is conducted. And after the Eidus, if the Eidus is accepted, so then he says, Immatu lo schus, if they find the schus, potrin oso. They pater him. They v'imlo matu lo schus, osu noso ad lamacha. So matu lo schus, that's a very important halacha. Which is, the Rambam doesn't spell it out, but the Rambam only told you that the problem would be if everybody, found him to be guilty. And nobody could find any basis for innocence, potrinoso. When you read that halacha of potrinoso, you would think, well, why potrinoso? Why not bring him back and try him over again? I would say, well, you can't convict him. You can't convict him, that's one thing. But can you try him over again? Apparently not. Because it means to say that Beis Din has to pronounce him zakai. And once Beis Din pronounces him zakai, even though this is not, there's two kinds of zakai. One zakai is when they deliberate and the melamde schus overpower the melamde chavei is zakai, you're found innocent. Whatever you did, it doesn't carry the death penalty. So then we've learned that you can't retry him, can't be tried over again. But in the case of, in this case, one could have said differently. The Rambam holds that in this case, he's Zakai, same thing. You can't try him over again. It means to say that Beis Din really pronounces him Zakai. It's also very interesting to note that there's another machlokas, because we've already learned that if the person was found guilty, and somebody has an argument for schus that you overlooked, you can bring him back. And you uproot the previous din, you could try him over again and find him innocent. But once he's been found innocent, and even if somebody says you made a mistake, wrong verdict, he's really guilty, you can't retry him again. And what was the basis for that? The basis was, v'nucky, v'tzadik al taro, that you can't kill someone who's nucky. Nucky means he's innocent. But tzadik means he's a tzadik. That means he's tzadik v'din. He has a shame tzadik once he was found to be innocent in court for whatever reason, even if it was a mistake, that's a tzaddik, you can't prosecute him. Does the Rambam agree with that? What I mean to say like this, of course he agrees with that halacha, but does he agree with that tam? All right, then you have the Rambam in Halacha Ches, Perek Yud Halacha Ches, where he talks about the Talmidim, that the Talmud in Dini Nefashos, who wants to be Melamed Chov, Meshaskin also, and Malame Schus, we bring him up. If there's Mamish B'dvar, we listen to him. And then he says, V'eino yard misham li'olam. He doesn't go down from there, li'olam, which I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. Well, what does that mean? What's he referring to? All right, but that's not that significant. And if there's no Mamish B'dvar, there's no substance, so then eino yard misham kalayam kulo. He doesn't go down the entire day. But after that, apparently, he does go down. Then he says something very fascinating, that even if the defendant himself wants to argue for himself, for Schluss, we listen to him. The Ola Laminyan, and he's Ola. He's counted in the count. But that's only if there's Mamash B'dvarav. Then in Tess, if the Beis Din made a mistake in Din Nefashos, and they convicted someone who was innocent, who was Pater, and then they recognized their mistake, so then they uproot the Din, and they try him again. But if they made a mistake, and they exonerated someone who's guilty, they can't. Ain't so sinister, you know, ain't machzirino. So they can't bring him back. Unless it was a davish, they made a mistake in something which the tzedukim amoda to. Something which is so obvious, it's an open thing in Torah Shebichsav, so that's not considered a valid judgment, that kind of a mistake. But that's something else. The Rambam in Mitzvah, Sefer Mitzvah, Slo Sase, Mitzvah Reish Pei Gimel. He shehizir adayan, that the dayan is prohibited, mehatos, to turn, to incline, ladas dayan achar, to the view of a different dayan, al tzad heheshoin olav, that is, on the basis of just relying on him, b'chiyav hachayev, whether to for guilty, o zikli hazaka, or innocence. Mibilti sheyia hadava muvan etzlau. Without the matter being clear to him, lefi hekesho v'sichlo me'akdamos ha-Torah, in accordance with his understanding, the principles of the Torah. V'hu amro, and that's in the pasuk, lo sana al riv lintos, that you can't be nota. You can't, sana here means to talk, to express an opinion. Lintos, which is just basically being nota. Yeratza b'zeh, they mean to say, lo savakesh b'riv, you should not seek out in a riv, hanatiya levad, just a natiya, just a conclusion. V'hu shetita imharov, and that is that you will incline. You cannot partake of this activity of inclining, of just going along with others, whether it be with the rov, o im hagadolim, or with those who are greater. V'tishtok mimash yesh benafshecha b'dinahu, and be silent concerning your own view. You can't do that. Apparently, you could do that in Dinei Mamonos. An interesting thing. It's not something which is particular to the process of din. Because bear in mind, this is something I guess you would say, yeah, it makes sense. You're a dayan. You got to express your own point of view. But it's not true in Dinei Mamonos. It's a specific halacha in Dinei Nefeshos. And this is the way he characterizes it. Okay. You should not say at the time of the count. It's enough. I'll just be like the other person. I'll just go along with his view. But rather say what you think. You might think that the same is true in Dinei Mamonos. Talmud Lomar, Achrei Rabim Lahatos. By Dinei Mamonos, he says, Achrei Rabim Lahatos. So apparently you can do that. It's an interesting thing. I would have thought that that's specific to the whole idea of being a dayan. He's not saying that you should do it or shouldn't do it. He's merely saying that there's no law. There's no prohibition on a dayan in Dinei Mamonos to say, I'll go along with him. He's smarter than I am in Dinei Mamonos. I'll just go along with his view. Apparently he has a right to do that. But in Dinei Nefashos, he doesn't have a right to do that. But it's interesting. Don't jump to any quick conclusions, because it doesn't matter whether you're going along with someone for chav or even for schos. Even for schos. Umizeh alav gam kein tavo ha'azhara. And from this lav also comes the warning. This is what the Rambam now is explaining, what he said, bechlal lav zeh. In the Mishnah Torah, he said, bechlal lav zeh. Included in this, incorporated into this lav, is the idea that the malame schus cannot be chos malame chov. Now here he sort of explains it. From this lav also comes the prohibition lemalame schus, for one who is malame schus shol yachso vi yilmat chova, that he should not change and be malame chova. La amro, on the basis of what they said, Losana, Alriv, Lintos. The same words carry that idea. Losana, Alriv, Lintos. Kolomar. Lo yivdvarecha bo, your words in this riv, this dispute, should not be lahatos oso lechova, to incline him towards chov. Your word should not be lintos. Losana alriv, you should not express an opinion in a dispute, lintos, which will incline the person to chov. So he says that's the basic idea of the pasuk. But he goes even further. From whence do we derive the halacha that you can't be poseach l'chov and you have to be poseach l'schus? What's the source of that? V'chein ein poschim b'din nefashas l'chova. So too, you can't begin, initiate. Din nefashas l'chov, l'amro yisale. With regard again to what God said, lo sana al riv lintos. Same thing. Everything comes to lo sana al riv lintos. V'chein machzirin l'schus, v'ein machzirin l'chova. Machzirin l'schus and ein machzirin l'chova is what? According to him, it's lo sana al riv lintos. It's not from Naki Vitzadik al Tarak. Now, how he did the Gemara, how he learns the Gemara, something else, but apparently he rejected it, that's the pshat. The real pshat is lo sana al riv lintos. That's how the Rambam learns. V'chein ein maschilin min ha-gadol. And so too, the halacha, that you're not allowed to begin from the gadol. Kol elu hadvarim umnam, all of these things indeed, nilmadu me amro, we've learned from his statement, from the statement of the Torah, losana al riv lintos. Kamosha is bar bervi misanhedrin. Visham is baro mishpate mitzvazu. Let's focus, for example, on the way the Rambam learns losana al riv lintos, that in a Dini Nefashos, the Dayan cannot incline. He cannot incline to somebody else's view. Whether it be for Schus or whether it be for Chov. That's a little bit strange because Michlal, whatever, the other point that we derive is a point which is specifically a point to increase the possibility of Schus, that the Malam is Schus, can't be Chus, and Malam is Chov. That's something which is for the defendant. Right? But the first one seems to be neutral. At first glance, it does not appear to be something which is like all the other points. All the other points that he's making over here are points that favor the nidon, that favor the defendant. See, the masu matan of dinei mamonos is different than the masu matan of dinei nefashos. The masu matan of dinei mamonos, none of these rules apply. There's no halacha of poschen l'schus. There's no halacha of changing. You can change positions. You can adopt somebody else's position. It's essentially a masu matan of din. But how would you characterize the masu matan of din nefashos? What is the function of the masu matan of dine nefashos? Now, the function of dine of masu matan of dine mamonis would seem to be its clarification. This is the objective is din. It's clarification of what the halacha ought to be. Is that the same? Is that true of the Masu Matan of Din Nefashos? The question we're asking is, what is the function? There's two things. There's the character of the Masu Matan. That's one. The character of the Masu Matan of Din Nefashos is different. And the role that it plays in the entire process is different as well. This would explain to... That's it. The Matir. That's the... Bezdin does not have a Matir because here you're taking somebody's life. Bezdin needs a Matir to be gomer the din l'chov. In dine nefashos, it's a special matir. It's different. In dine mamonos, you don't have that problem. Bezdin doesn't need a special matir to be gomer the din, even if it should entail loss of money. Because loss of money is retrievable, returnable. Bezdin has the right to judge dine mamonos, as long as they go through the basic procedures. But in dine nefashos, you have a new phenomenon. The heter to take a life. That is not simply a factor of din. Din per se. The ordinary procedure of din does not give Bezdin the right to take a human life. That's why the Torah is very specific. The words v'shaftu ha'eda v'hitzilu ha'eda. That the command upon the Bezdin is to judge and to save. How do they save him? Through the process of judgment. Obviously, like a doctor is supposed to try and save a patient. That's the objective, but he can only do so through medicine. Now here, the Dayanim are instructed to save the Nidon, but through the process of law. It's a legal type of a saving. So it's a special chefta shel masumata. It has its own rules that apply to it. It's structured in a manner so that it conforms to what the Torah requires as a masu matna vatzola. It's only if they fail to save him, if it's like a rescue mission, so to speak. If it's a fail, then you have a right to be gomer, the din, lechov. That's the matir. But if you did not engage in that, then you have no matir. Hence, bezdin shapasu kulam lechov. They all started out lechov. He's potter. Because there was no, this masu matin doesn't have the characteristic of being a masu matin of atzala. And you see that this is not just a nice idea, but it's halachically a part of the very character. It's part of the very character of the masu matin. It has to be qualified. How is it qualified? For example, poschim l'schus. Poschim l'schus is a qualification. That is, we tell him that don't worry, that we are going to do everything in our power to save you. Whatever, I'm not interested in the practical effect. Never mind. It's a halacha of poschim l'schus. And in my opinion, that's why it is prohibited for a dayan to just be noted, to accept somebody else's, because somebody else's opinion. Because the objective of the Masamat is to create as many different possibilities for Schuss. The more, the merrier, so to speak. Because if this one doesn't work, you can have a different reason. If the other reason, you see, the more reasons, the more arguments for Schuss, that's the whole Hatzalah. So more people could be won over to that position. That's the whole, it's true. It's true that he can't be nota either way. He can't be nota l'schus, right? That doesn't matter. We don't want him to do that. In order to get the general objective that everybody should be engaged in the search, you have to make a law that says he has to be involved in the search. He can't just say, I'll follow the other person. Even if he wants to follow him for schus, that's not helping us. We want to create more avenues of schus. Let's say he'll go along with somebody else's schus, and let's say that argument will be knocked out of the water. So you're not doing your job. Your job as a dayan is to search. Now, you can't just vote for schus, because then it's meaningless. That's not a hurrah. You see, the saving, the atzal, has to be in the framework of a legitimate hurrah. That is the job of the dayan. That's the lo sana al riv lentos, in my opinion. That's what the Rambam says. Everything flows from that. That is describing the particular manner in which the masa umaton of din nefesh is constructed so that it will have the characteristic of being the hitzilu. It's only if, you see, that's why, if he's found, according to the Rambam, this explains everything. The chiyuv is the hitzilu. To save him through din, that's the chiyuv. It's not a neutral process, just this, wherever they were. No, it's not.
It's not just justice,
it's matter of, it's v'tzilu. It's atzala. It's not like we're indifferent. We don't care what the outcome is.
And justice is not
blameable. That is to say, so therefore, as long, even if he was found guilty, as long as somebody comes up with an argument for schus, you got to bring it back, because it's your matir. Takes away your matir. The matir, again, is only if there's no possible way that we could save him, then we have a right to kill him. But as long as there's a way to save him, you've made zilu. So even if he's found guilty, the Ram didn't need the pasuk of Naki v'tzadik al tarog. The Ram didn't need that pasuk. Because he based it all on v'tzilu. It's part of Bezdin's chiyuv of Hatzala. And if he's found innocent, so that's it. So you lose. Bezdin has tried this individual. They found him innocent. It means to say they can't bring him back. Why can't they bring him back? Because they lost their matir to kill him. That's it. The matir has been lost. Once you found him innocent, that's it. You no longer have a matir. That, I would say, is that the Rambam learns that the Malamei Schus is Ein Achoz and Malamei Chov. Because once he's a Malame Tzchus, he loses his matir to be a Malame Chum. He can't be a Malame Chum. Once he's a Malame Tzchus, he can, because that's part of his Chiv of Yitzilu. Because you found the Tzchus. You have something. You have to stick with it. That's part of the, you see, that's it, that ties in with Rashi's Svarah. That's why it's possible that Rashi, when Rashi's a Svarah, it doesn't mean that we just decided on our own. Rashi's saying the Svarah of the, that this is, there's a logic to this. But that logic could very well tap into this concept. Well, Rashi does say V'Yitzilu. See, Rashi does say it's V'Yitzilu. That's part of the V'Yitzilu. So you see that there's a Chiv of V'Yitzilu on Bezna. And that is to say that it would be lacking in Hatzalah. What kind of a V'Yitzilu is this? But if the whole objective is to find Schusim, to increase Schusim. Oh, so now once you find Schusim, to hold on to them, not to lose the Schusim. To do your utmost to maintain them, because the whole V'Yitzilu expressed itself in the form of din, of judgments, of legal judgments, of horos that have to be valid, that have to stand up. So your objective is to make sure that they stand up. That's why I would say that the idea that we've been propounding, that the Rambam over here has a separate minyan, makes a lot of sense, because this is the minyan. It means to say that it's part and parcel of the masu matan of schus, that Bezdin has to keep track. First of all, in general, if there's no, it's not just an empty discussion over here. Not all right, we'll debate, the debating society, and then we go on to the Gemara. There's a structured phenomenon. There's a chefsa, so to speak, of masu matan. And it has to operate in accordance with rules. And part of that is that you keep track. You have to keep track of the tamim. Now, the minyan over here is a minyan in accordance with tamim, I would say. Not we're counting how many tamim, but how many mezakin. That's what we said before. It's a minyan of how many mezakin do we have versus how many mechayiv do we have. Because the debate really focuses between the mezakin and the mechayiv. And that's why the Rambam is saying that in terms of minyan ha-mezakin, as opposed to minyan ha-machayivim, so we only count you as a separate groups, you see, or separate individuals, in accordance with separate tamim. Because, again, that's a very significant factor. The more tamim that you can garner for schus, is what our objective is, the better off the fate of the nidon. Because, in the course of arriving at a result, Tamim will come up, but then they may be discarded, like that's just the way it works, that's the intellectual process. So, that, in my opinion, is the underpinning, so to speak, the foundation of the position of the Rambam, as we've seen it, that the crucial point is that in Dine Nefashos, the masu matan is a different type of a masu matan. It is the vehicle through which Bezdin has to fulfill its chiyuv of the yitzilu. And if you have not fulfilled the chiyuv of the yitzilu, so then you can't be posting the thing. You can't condemn this person. You can't condemn this person. It's only if you fail to do so. I think that's what the Rambam is describing. Until there are those who are fighting for schus and they're overpowered, so to speak, by the mechayvin, then they have no choice. Then they have a heter. They have a special heter to come to a conclusion that this person is chayv. Yeah, it's true. That's true that we have the Gemara that says later on that a bezin that kills once in 7 years is chavlonim and so on and so forth. I mean, that's part of the idea. That's connected to the idea that the objective of bezin is hatzolos nefashos. That's the objective. Interestingly enough, just pointing out, we could pursue this further, but in the course of putting together these ideas, remember there was a whole discussion about poskel l'schus? How so? Because really, in a sense, putting it in a different way, the objective of the Sanhedrin is really to save him. Because once they're makabel, see, the Eidus is very damning. You have to understand that. I made that point last week. Once they accept the Eidus, this person is, so to speak, doomed. Because they don't accept the Eidus itself has to be pertaining to something which you chayav misa for. Otherwise, as I said, And I said, when the Eidim first come into the court, before they even interrogate them, what are you talking about? You have to know the crime. If the crime doesn't carry the death penalty, they're not going to bother. They're not going to go further. There's no penalty. It's only a crime that contains the death penalty, and they've been subjugated to the very, very strenuous, demanding interrogation, and their Eidus is accepted, so now this guy's a chote, as we said. Even if he's found innocent in court, it doesn't mean that he's a tzaddik, obviously. Guy's going to be puzzled with Eidus. So now, Bezdin's response to that is, our task is, see, the Kabbalah's Eidus is the Mechayev to save you from the effects, the consequences of that Eidus. Now, it could be that this is the pshat. For example, we tried certain ideas. For example, we say, Yesh lecha edim lazimon. We asked the Nidon, do you have edim that could be mazim these edim? That would save him. Ah, but the Gemara says, are we posech b'schuso shal zeh, which is going to be chavasa shal zeh? In other words, are we going to start off, we're going to solicit something from you, which will be damaging to the, now you understand. That's the whole issue. That because Bezdin is involved in a Maisa Hatzalah. But the question is, is it really a Maisa Hatzalah if it's condemning somebody else? It's lacking in the Maisa Hatzalah. It's got to be a Maisa Hatzalah, which does not contain any side effects of damaging somebody else. That's the whole idea, you see. Then the other, Hakrishan, but the Hakrishan can lead to Ziman. There's all these types of issues. But you see, now you understand what the problem was over there. Because Bezdin is mechuyev to engage in Hatzalah of this Nidon. And that's the question. Is it really a Hatzalah if it's going to kill somebody else? Then it's not a true Hatzalah. It's got to be a Hatzalah, which is undertaken from the standpoint of Hatzalah's Nefashos. But that, I think, is crucial to understanding what the Rambam is talking about. Minyan is very important. That's part of the creation of the entity. It can't just be done in a haphazard way. And there could be other reasons for it. You have to keep track of the reasons. Bezdin has to make a determination. Bear in mind also that it's a Masa Matan of Hatzalah, because the Rambam says, Matalos Chos, Pochinoso. In other words, how long does the Masa Matan go on? It could go on for days, or it could be very quick. As soon as they find an opportunity, as soon as I see there's a quorum, we have a majority for a quorum, we go right to Gemar Din. You see, there's no time for why? Because Vitzilu. The chiyuv is v'yitzilu. If on the other hand we don't, then we can postpone it. We can go on. At the minimum, it has to be postponed until the next day. But you can postpone it even longer. Okay? So now you understand why you have to keep track. There's a positive read to keep track of all the mezakin versus the mechayim to see how the flow is going, how the situation is going, to determine whether we should continue longer or whether we can make it shorter, so on and so forth. But basically, the point that we've established is that there is an entity, there is an objective chefta shel masu matan, which works in accordance with certain rules, and according to the Rambam, minyan is part of it. It can't be done without minyan. And once you establish that point, that removes all of the questions that we had concerning the way the Rambam learns, to who said Tom from even afilu mishnei mikros.